You're attending PCMA's Convening Leaders in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. You'll look to learn. You'll look to network. And when it comes to the latest technology for your meetings and events, you'll find a place to learn, network, and even enjoy a warm cup of high-quality coffee at the Inspiration Cafe. Visit room 119 at the Vancouver Convention Center in January and discover how to elevate your success. Go to visitpsav.com. That's visitpsav.com to learn more. And enter to win a prize after visiting the Inspiration Cafe, room 119 at PCMA Convening Leaders. Remaking the World by Barbara Palmer. From Raleigh to Glasgow and Melbourne to London, meetings and trade shows increasingly play a key role in the transfer of knowledge fueling the global economy and can make a difference that lasts. When the Electrochemical Society, ECS, booked its 2015 conference on energy conversion and storage with soil oxygen fuel cells at Glasgow's Scottish Exhibition and Conference Centre, SECC, 7 years ago, the city already had a reputation for being active in renewable energy. But, said Christine Neff, ECS's director of meetings, they certainly weren't where they are today. End quote. By the time the meeting was held this past July, Glasgow had emerged as a leader in the field in the UK, home to a world-class renewable energy academic research center and startup accelerator, and well on its way to its goal of becoming a zero-carbon city by 2020. From Neff's point of view, the destination could not have been more in tune with ECS's conference, where researchers from more than 40 countries gathered to talk about innovation in fuel cells and batteries. In addition to providing access to expert speakers from Glasgow's research community and a nerd-friendly venue, the Glasgow Science Centre for ECS's banquet, partnerships between the Glasgow City Marketing Bureau, the SECC, and the Scottish Government paved the way to bring Fergus Ewing, Scotland's Minister for Business, Energy and Tourism, to the meeting. Ewing discussed Scotland's renewable energy programs and goals with attendees, Neff said, and characterized why Glasgow was a natural fit for our conference. End quote. A lot was riding on the success of the conference, which represented the first time ECS was holding a satellite meeting in Europe. Glasgow's concentration of cutting-edge research in renewable energy helped bolster attendance, because many potential attendees are academics who face funding restrictions. And meeting in a destination dense with industry-specific resources made it more likely that they could attend, Neff said. While ECS had set a target of 650 attendees, the conference ended up drawing 800. When you're looking at organizing successful meetings from a global perspective, there is a very long list of things that come into play, Neff said. But ECS's experience demonstrated the value of connecting meetings to a research and science-heavy destination aligned with attendee interests. To have it be so successful was a big relief on our end. End quote. A new map of the world. The ECS conference is a near-perfect example of how aligning an individual meeting with the intellectual resources of a destination can add value for both organizers and attendees. And hosting an international delegation of scientists was a win for Glasgow beyond the immediate financial benefits of the meeting, helping the once smoky industrial city burnish its reputation as a center for scientific innovation. The meeting also illustrates a larger trend, one that researchers at the University of Toronto's Martin Prosperity Institute have described as an epochal transformation. The global shift away from economies powered by natural resources and large-scale industries toward economies in which creativity and knowledge are primary drivers. As a result of that shift, cities are entering a new era of competition, as they remake their identities and rebrand themselves around clusters of innovation, according to Greg Clark, an expert on and consultant to cities delivering the keynote address at AIPC 2015, the International Association of Convention Centers, annual conference and general assembly in Boston last July. Rapid globalization, triggered by the 2008 financial crisis, is helping draw what amounts to a new map of the world, Clark said.
There has been more change in the last 5 years, than there was in 50 years before it.
End quote. In North Carolina, the shift started decades ago. In a pine-forested region encompassing North Carolina State University in Raleigh, Duke University in Durham, and the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, that came to be known as Research Triangle Park. The Research Park was a very successful and widely copied experiment in leveraging the intellectual assets already clustered in an area. Institutions began to collaborate with one another, sharing their research and facilities, and help speed the transfer of ideas and innovation from academic labs to private companies. Research Triangle has now grown to include numerous universities and nearly 200 science and technology companies.
The key verticals in our backyard used to be tobacco and textiles,
said Lauren Gold, Executive Vice President of the Great Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Great minds from an intellectual capital standpoint.
In academia, Gold said,
and movers and shakers in the amazing emerging industries in our STEM space.
End quote. Positioning the area as a destination for STEM meetings in science, technology, engineering, and math is a strategy Visit Raleigh had been pursuing loosely for the past 4 or 5 years. In the last year, however, it has been formalized into practice. On its website, Visit Raleigh touts the fact that it has the third largest biotechnology cluster in the United States and ranks in the top 10 in the world in clean technology, among other knowledge economy calling cards. The strategy is working, Gold said, aided by the collaboration of local meetings advocates such as Emlyn Koster, Ph.D., the high-profile director of the North Carolina Museum of Natural Science. Last October, the museum staff hosted the 2014 annual conference of the Association of Science Technology Centers, which brought more than 1,700 delegates from 42 countries to Raleigh. Koster also played a role in bringing nearly 2,000 attendees from 38 countries to Raleigh for Evolution 2014, the joint annual meeting of the Society for the Study of Evolution, the Society of Systematic Biologists, and the American Society of Naturalists. And in February 2017, the museum will host the annual meeting of the Citizen Science Association. Meeting sessions have been held at facilities including the museum and its conference center, as well as the 500,000-square-foot Raleigh Convention Center, which is connected to the 400-room Raleigh Marriott City Center. But it's the strength of the city's intellectual, creative, and human capital, not its infrastructure, that the CVB now leads with.
We're not about a building, or a bridge, or a beach, or a body of water,
Gold said.
We're about connecting meetings to the people who live here and work here, and create things day in and day out. The old ideal of a meeting attendee was someone who would come in, visit, spend money, and then leave. Now, the ideal visitor is one who visits, spends money, and leaves, and then we continue to have a dialogue.
End quote. The cluster effect. For economic clusters like the long-established Research Triangle Park or the emerging renewable energy hub in Glasgow to succeed, it's not enough just to have a concentration of local resources, no matter how rich, according to Harold Bathelt, a professor of economic geography at the University of Toronto. The economic clusters that thrive also develop global links that can bring in new ideas and new technology. To be successful, Bathelt said, a region will have
a strong local buzz and a global pipeline to the outside, to the most advanced customers, knowledge pools, universities, and research organizations throughout the world.
That's where meetings come in. Trade shows and conferences, particularly international flagship or hub events, can provide those kinds of links, Bathelt said. The fact that relationships between the temporary community that grows around a meeting and a destination's permanent business and research community are mutually beneficial is clearly understood in Hamburg, Germany, where the city has sorted its economic strengths into 8 clusters so it can systematically foster innovation, according to Florian Gerds, marketing manager for conventions for the Hamburg Convention Bureau. Conferences strengthen the academic exchange in the city, Gerds said, and shine the spotlight on Hamburg as an international knowledge hub. As Hamburg's expertise and reputation grow, the easier it is to acquire congresses, In turn, the knowledge transfer triggered by Congresses strengthens the industrial and scientific sector, end quote. Among the eight clusters that Hamburg has identified as its leading strengths is aviation. The city is the third largest center for civil aviation in the world, and Germany's Federal Ministry of Education and Research supports a strategy to make it a leading international center for aviation research and innovation. That expertise, as well as the local network that links industry, academia, the government, and the Convention Bureau, helped bring 700 delegates to Hamburg for the International Air Transport Association, IATA, Fifth World Passenger Symposium this past October. The Convention Bureau helped establish contacts between IATA and local partners, find speakers and local sponsors, and arrange for unique experiences, such as tours of Hamburg's Airbus factory. The symposium was organized in conjunction with THAC at Hamburg, a competitive hackathon for developers held at a local co-working facility and sponsored by the online travel publication T-News. Participants created computer applications with IATA's new open source standard, and the results were presented at the symposium's plenary session. Events such as the hackathon helped foster creative exchange among the local community and the symposium's participants, who represented the world's leading airlines, airports, travel agents, industry suppliers, and manufacturers. Leaving behind a legacy. Melbourne, Australia, was among the first destinations to use its intellectual capital as a way of attracting international conventions. And now, with a new campaign called the Melbourne Effect, the city is leading the way in articulating the hard-to-quantify qualities that can create an environment for collaboration between meeting organizers and local resources. Knowledge is just one of the many reasons that planners have their meetings in Melbourne, Karen Bollinger, CEO of the Melbourne Convention Bureau, MCB, said during a press conference at IMEX Frankfurt in May. The Melbourne Effect is a way to recognize that and speaks to everything about the city, Bollinger added in an interview with Convene. It's about community and the behavior and the culture of the city, intangible things that are important to the destination. It's not just the next step in the knowledge economy, end quote. When MCB surveyed key market segments, including international associations and corporate and incentive planners, it uncovered a need for that kind of engaged, interactive environment. What stood out, Bollinger said, was their desire for a city and bureau to not just tick the boxes, but to facilitate collaboration and deliver real outcomes. Melbourne is positioning itself not just as a place where groups have access to centers of knowledge, Bollinger said, but where they can collaborate with local resources to create legacies that will last long after the business event is over. End quote. A prime example is the 20th International AIDS Conference, which attracted nearly 12,000 delegates from more than 170 countries to Melbourne in 2014. As part of the planning process, MCB and the Victorian Department of Health convened the Melbourne Planning Group, made up of more than a dozen influential locals, to work with the International AIDS Society. One tangible and lasting result of the conference was the AIDS 2014 Legacy Statement, a commitment by Australia's state and federal health ministers to eliminate new HIV infections by 2020. MCB also used the conference as an opportunity to correct misperceptions and reduce stigma around AIDS by hosting training sessions for local tourism professionals to share information about the delegates' needs. Those outcomes aren't just window dressing, Bollinger said, but speak to the essence of the collective goals that shape association conferences. In 2017, Melbourne will host EcoCity World Summit, a conference that is convened every 2 years in a different host city and will attract approximately 1,000 leading international urban planners, architects, and environmental specialists to discuss sustainable city initiatives. The conference is expected to spotlight the city's leadership in sustainability and the action it's taking on climate change, Bollinger said, including an initiative to achieve zero net emissions by 2020. Although EcoCity is still 2 years out, local government officials, academics, and others have begun to put their heads together with meeting organizers to create partnerships, according to Paul James, one of the conference's lead organizers and a professor of globalization and cultural diversity at Western Sydney University, where he serves as director of the Institute for Culture and Society. The meeting is a good fit for Melbourne, said Brendan Gleeson, director of the Melbourne Sustainable Society Institute, because the city, while marvelously livable, is facing grave sustainability threats. An eco-city will generate the kind of exchange of energy and ideas that, by engaging the international community with locals, has the potential to make a lasting impact.
Partnership between cities, local government bodies, and NGOs brings exciting, engaged life to international meetings. And academics bring the slower but deeper work of engaged research.
End quote. An incredible boom. Some events, particularly large international trade shows and conferences, can create global buzz. They're so big and influential that when participants go there, they know they can find pretty much all the partners, information, and other resources they need. Which is why identifying and developing flagship events has become a key strategy at London and Partners, according to Zanine Adams, head of events and business development. London and Partners is a not-for-profit organization launched in 2011 by London's mayor, Boris Johnson, to attract both investment and visitors to the city. The organization works with the mayor's office to spotlight four areas that the city has identified as driving growth and investment in the city: technology, creative industries, life sciences, and financial services. From those sectors, we saw an incredible boom and realized the opportunity to align ourselves to the meetings and events sector because our role as London's official convention bureau is to help drive events and congresses into London, Adams said. We also work very much more closely now with the event organizers in terms of helping them to enhance their events. A traditional CVB will do its best to try to win the event into London, but more and more now we sit down with the event organizer and see what it is that they're trying to achieve in London so that they're maximizing their event opportunity too. We're not just trying as a convention bureau to fill our hotel rooms and venues, which of course we do on a day-to-day basis, Adams said. We want to get under the skin of the event and understand the content so we can help them grow and be successful. It also puts a spotlight on London's industry, the opportunities that we have in business here, especially in those relevant sectors, and how we can help grow them as well and grow our talent in London. End quote. London and Partners was a founder of London Technology Week, an annual series of events that was inaugurated in June 2014. This past June, Tech Week 2015 hosted 228 programs in 141 venues across London, attended by 43,000 people from more than 80 countries. Tech Week not only puts a spotlight on the city's tech sector, Adams said, but also creates a platform for event organizers who want to bring their groups to London. This year, Tech Week included conferences, exhibits, parties, workshops, and networking events held in a variety of spaces. And because of the word of mouth it generates, we don't have to go out and bang the drum about Tech Week, Adams said. People are now asking, okay, what are the dates of Tech Week in 2016? End quote. The strategy has worked so well, Adams has been asked to create five more week-based programs. We've recently launched London Entertainment Week, and we had Advertising Week Europe 2015, she said. We have event organizers that come to us saying, we're running a two-day forum. We want to turn this into a week because we see the opportunity to align ourselves with other events that are taking place. End quote. London and Partners has also helped forge new partnerships between event organizers. 2 years ago, the organizers of the long-running Mobile Games Forum came to London and Partners and suggested they join forces with a competitor that organized a similar event the week before. They realized that if they could collaborate, Adams said, they could get more attendees to come to their event if they worked side by side. The result was the week-long London Mobile Games Week, an event that attracted 12 times as many attendees as the Mobile Games Forum. There were 730 industry leaders from around the world, Adam said, 4,000 participants, 60% of which were international, and 620 major companies took part, end quote. With events of that magnitude, we can then leverage our assets in terms of working with the government, Adam said. Perhaps host something at the House of Lords, and they in turn will perhaps get more attendees. Indeed, it was a success for London and partners, because to create London Mobile Games Week puts the spotlight on the mobile gaming industry in London. We see a benefit on both sides, not only in the fact that these two events have grown, but also they've consolidated to become a week-long event activity with lots of programming. It's win-win, I think, on both sides. End quote. Are trade shows getting smarter? If the new world currency is knowledge, are trade shows, with their rows of physical products and samples, still relevant? It's a question that Harold Bethelt, a professor of economic geography and the Canada Research Chair in Innovation and Governance in the Political Science Department at the University of Toronto, whose research specialties include industrial clusters and economic development, first became interested in more than a decade ago as a professor at Germany's University of Frankfurt. Bethelt visited two triennial events at Messe Frankfurt, huge trade shows where global communities met to show off their innovations. One was a trade show on the global lighting industry, a really fascinating event with all sorts of design and technology-related exhibits, he said. The other, although just as important for the industry it represented, wasn't so personally engaging. It featured slaughtering and sausage-making machines. But what really fueled Bethelt's interest, and subsequent research, was the fact that both shows weren't just sales marketplaces, but places where participants were engaged in interactive learning. Sales were still prominent, but Bethelt also observed a steady flow of information and interactive learning in all directions between customers, competitors, suppliers, and others. Last year, Bethelt published his research about the role of trade shows in knowledge transfer in trade shows in the globalizing knowledge economy, a book he co-wrote with Bocconi University's Francesca Golfetto and Kedge Business School's Diego Rinaldo.
In the knowledge economy, competitiveness crucially depends on the knowledge resources of firms,
the authors write.
Trade shows, especially international flagship fairs or hub shows, play a decisive role in this respect, establishing critical links between individuals around the globe for discussions about the learning or knowledge economy in a global context.
Trade show critics say,
"We have the internet, so the trade shows are disappearing,"
Bethelt said.
"But we always see changes. Trade shows come and go. Some are shrinking, some are increasing. Some are closed, and new ones appear all the time. In Asia, there is a tremendous growth, and the big events are growing. If you look at these large events, the major events in an industry, this is where the world comes together for a few days. This is where you can get to know everything about your industry, whatever trends are going on. This is the place where you get this information."
As an expert on economic clusters, concentrations of business and academic expertise that gain strength through proximity to one another, Bethelt has observed that knowledge spreads at trade fairs in the same way as in more permanent clusters.
"There is a buzz of knowledge that flows back and forth,"
Bethelt said.
"There is horizontal interaction between competitors, even if it is just observing and monitoring your competitors and scanning their exhibits. Sometimes, there's not a competitive situation at the trade show at that time, so there's actually quite a bit of conversation between firms that are usually competitive."
Bethelt's future research will look at the ways trade shows can collaborate with informal communities, specifically around the gaming industry in Toronto and Montreal. Montreal, he said,
has really developed into one of the leading spots because it is connecting the industry itself.
Many programmers in the industry are themselves gamers and are innovating in gaming communities outside of work.
"On the one hand, you have the formal organizations, firms and research institutes and associations. On the other hand, you have these communities that you could call the underground of the gaming world. If they are organized in the right way,"
Bethelt said,
"and if you can attract the right crowds, firms, players in the industry and from the field, they can be hugely important."